Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you. You know, well, you may not know. If you hadn't figured it out, Dusty's away for the weekend, which is much deserved, much needed. So he'll be back sometime later this evening. But that means that Dane and I get to split up the duties and get a chance to share with you. Yeah, wow, that's right. But I want you to know that this is always kind of a double-edged sword, because there seems like there's a lot of times when Dusty decides to go away for the weekend, or he's not here on a Sunday, when that means he's giving the scalpel into somebody else's hands. And this is one of those days, because the thing that I'm going to talk about is something that Dane and Dusty and I talk about all the time, and it's not always a nice thing to talk about. It's rather direct, okay? And the fact of the matter is, if it weren't for the funny video I'm about to show you, you could actually get really mad at me. So it is the way that it is, okay? It's part of the deal. So don't hear me being critical, because the truth is, you know, it's the old thing of you're pointing the finger, there's three pointing back at you. Well, you know, I still have to deal with some of this too. So it's not like I'm talking to you about something that is all you, it's me too. And it stings just as much whenever I have to confront myself on that. So all of us are going to catch a little stuff today. But we'll start out with the funny, okay? So, John, if you can pop up that video, and we'll laugh a little bit.
Welcome to First Trinity Unity Community Church of the United States. How can we feed you today?
Hi, I'd like a 25-minute sermon and some upbeat worship music, please. Nothing too crazy, though. And I don't like to stand until the very end.
Certainly. Please drive forward. Have a blessed day.
No standing until the end, right?
Of course not, sir. Here at FTU CCUSA, we get your order right the first time, every time, all the time, and on time until the end of time. Have a blessed day. Welcome to First Trinity Unity Community Church of the United States. How can we feed you today?
Can I get some children's ministry, please, with games, please? Lots of games. And, can I have some movies, too, but please no VeggieTales, because, girls, I don't like the VeggieTales songs. They get stuck in my head. Okay? Then I'd like the multicolored fishy crackers, please. Not the plain gold ones. We've got those at home. Okay, we've got those. A cry room. Do you guys have a cry room?
Certainly.
Okay, can I get a leather chair and surround sound, please, in my cry room?
Certainly. Have a blessed day.
We want the new Buddy Christ, Mom.
Welcome to First Trinity Unity Community Church of the United States. How can we feed you today?
Who's teaching?
Pastor Wilkes.
No, I'm not so crazy about him.
I meant Pastor Johnson, of course. Sorry for the mix-up.
That's more like it. Now look, I don't want any of that Old Testament business today. I want to focus on the New Testament.
Well, of course, sir. The Old Testament God is me.
I mean, he is a lot happier now, so let's focus on the present.
Certainly.
I want some creative illustrations. I want to laugh a little bit, but not too much. I want my communion crackers broken for me with 100% with 100% natural grape juice. I know that stuff last week was from Ken. You think that's honoring to God?
No, sir. Of course not.
I didn't think so. And I want to feel encouraged and uplifted and affirmed this week. And look, I want some healing for my bunion. And I don't want to be challenged too much, just a little bit, okay? Because I'm challenged enough during work.
Certainly. This is a safe place. A happy place.
I'd be a lot happier if you had something in the fifth row or so.
Certainly.
That's what I'm talking about. Have a blessed day.
First Trinity Unity Community Church of the United States. We get your order right the first time, every time, all the time, and on time, until the end of time. How can we feed you today?
You know, not too long ago, one of our former vice presidents came out with a movie that kind of rocked the world for a while. It was called An Inconvenient Truth. Well, today we're talking about an inconvenient church. So you could do this part here, put a line through it or whatever. But the church is just not convenient, folks. It's not supposed to be convenient. Why do I know that the church is not supposed to be convenient? Well, let's talk about where we really are. John, pop up that first slide. The truth is, if you look at my picture, neither one of these ditches is good. One is the culture in the world that we wrestle with. Okay? That's one ditch that says everything is supposed to be convenient for you. And if it is not convenient for you, it is not of God. And I have to tell you, that's a lie. It's a lie. So if you're already mad, I love you. See you later. Okay? The fact of the matter is, if it's always convenient, you're in the wrong pew. The other half of that is religion that says if you just always go through the motions and you're always at church, or you always tithe, or you always pray, or you always doing all those religious things, that is another ditch that is equally problematic. Because it's not about religion. It's not about keeping a punch card in how many times you get in the building or how many times you go to life group for that matter. Because we are talking about the two-wing church as we talk about this. And the reality is this whole idea of being inconvenient does apply to each wing of the church. The large group when we gather and when we gather in homes. Neither one is supposed to be convenient. So, that's my picture. Just want to show you the two ditches, okay? Either one of those is not going to be good. We got to be on the road, okay? The road, the middle ground where the traveling is supposed to be taken, is a reality that we struggle with because we do have the world pulling us this way, we do have religion pulling us this way, and then middle, there's this way that we walk with Jesus that's authentic, that's real, that's honest, and it's built on relationships. And it's just not convenient. And I can prove it to you today. And I can reinforce that. That's what I want to spend my time doing today. Listen to this statement. This is where Dusty wanted me to start. How about that? Okay? When you're successful at making church a convenient part of your life, you are probably not functioning as a church, as the church. Let me read it again. When you're successful at making the church a convenient part of your life, you are probably not functioning as the church. Now let's talk about that a bit. First, let me ask you this question. What are some behaviors that demonstrate an attitude of convenience about church? Convenience behaviors, we'll call them. So what are some behaviors that demonstrate an attitude of convenience about church? Terry. Okay. Grumbling about temperature. Okay. Something else. Convenience attitude. Music. What about music? Okay. How about not my style? Okay. Music. What else? Peter. Okay, the way you worship. Okay. Take the next step. What do you mean when you say way you worship? You're talking about what we do in our acts of worship?
Yeah.
Okay. 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 What else? Okay, okay. Driving distance. Okay? And so we put, don't do it. In other words, it's too far, I won't go. What else? Beth. Okay. Considering time factor. Yes. These are attitudes that communicate that church should be convenient. Okay, too long. Service too long. You know, the answer to that on the other end is always that it's dusty. Yes. Yes, I am. We love you, Dusty. Not lively enough. Not enough. And I'm just going to put whatever. You can put lively enough, whatever. Okay, you fill in blank. Right, or too much whatever. That's right. That's right. Okay. Okay. My day. I need it. Okay. I'm killing this marker, by the way. Okay. Anything else you want to put? Don't step on my toes. Ah, there you go. Now we can get personal. Let's not get personal. All right. These are all things that we might hear, we might think, we might feel. Okay? And there's probably another 50 we could put up on the board, truthfully. Okay? And the reality is, we wrestle with all those things, not because of God, but because of our flesh. And because of lies. Which is hard to swallow. Let me read you some things. These are some that I thought up to add to yours. Gathering together is an opportunity or an option that you exercise freely and maybe frequently. The word that's the active word here is option. You have a lot of things to do. You've been doing a lot of things this week. It is an option that you choose to gather together. Now listen, we don't want to fall in the ditch of the world, which says, yes, it's convenient, don't go because you've worked real hard, you've had a long time, you chose to do other things. But we also don't want to fall in the other ditch of being religious. Of that we have to go because it's what we always do, and that makes us okay. Okay? Either way, either view is incorrect. But what really is going on in this struggle over the inconvenience of gathering together is one is a lie, and that is that it doesn't matter. The other is, why do we gather together? Because it's never convenient to get here on a Sunday, nor is it ever convenient to gather during the week. It is not convenient. It isn't going to be convenient. The fact that anyone would convince you or that you would listen to the lie that says it's supposed to be convenient is something we have to confront and not let it run with us. Okay? We just can't. The reality is, we know what the Bible says, right? We know that God, remember, it's not because it's a legalistic thing, it's because God knows what's best for us, and He told us what would make our lives full. So it's not about just being religious. It's a matter of God knows what we need, and when we don't act on what we know He's told us we need, we always suffer the consequences. So the consequences of when we don't gather together, one is we're not encouraged. Two, we stop listening for the right voices. Three, we run out from underneath the covering and protection of the people of God that God puts in our lives. We don't get any of that whenever we exercise the option to treat gathering together as something we can just decide to do or not to do. Secondly, giving back to God first is irrelevant. If He wants it, He can take it. I ain't giving it. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you about the amount of money you give. But I'm going to tell you, you can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says it's irrelevant to give. You can't find it. What you can find is God continues to stretch people to give more and more. Sorry, it's there. You can't get around it. You can argue with it in your flesh. You can make excuses for it. But the reality is, it's convenient not to do it. But I'm going to tell you, and listen to me. I work three jobs. My wife works two jobs. I ain't making a lot of money. But I have never, ever missed a payment. Ever. And we've had medical problems in my family over the last 2 years that have taken me to the nth degree. And I am telling you, to believe that God will not take care of you if you give first is a lie. It is a lie. Don't believe it, because God's got blessing for you. And that doesn't mean He's going to start heaping money in your pocket. But He will take care of you, and you have a testimony because you are trusting God. I encourage you to experience that if you haven't, okay? Because that's a lie. Church is inconvenient because you're going to hear people tell you what God wants you to do, and it's not what you want to do. You rarely go out of your way to speak to others, help others, and know others. And you know, when we behave like that, we just miss out. Because there's people that God wants us to touch, and there's people whose lives are going to touch us if we don't engage one another. Your decisions are based on feelings or circumstances, not convictions or values. You know people who are like that? Maybe you look in the mirror and sometimes you're those people. I am. I end up doing things based on how I feel, or the circumstance or the situation, instead of what I know to be true, a belief or a conviction, something that I know that God has told me is good for me. You only invest what has a reward or a visible product. All those are symptoms of convenience, because what they are is excuses. Okay. The only thing that I ever really remember out of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, that was such a fad for several years, okay, if you ever picked up the book, there was only one little statement. And you guys hear me say it often. Do you remember what that one little statement is that I really liked in the book and I thought was true? Thank you. It's not about you. It changed my life. You see, I had just been asked to resign from a church staff because they no longer saw need of me. And I was having a good pity party because what do I do now? My life was over. Because everything they tell you in seminary and in church life is once you've been asked to resign, you're done. You can give it up. Go find something else to do. In fact, whenever I was walking out the door, I was told, you might want to find something else to do. Are you sure? You need to make sure you're called. Which was hard. Now I say that because it's not about you changed my life. When I read that in that book at that time, I realized, you know, it may not really matter. It may not really matter if things go the way that I think they're supposed to go, because it's not about me. It's about God. And it's not about whether somebody put letters behind my name or I had a degree. It's a matter of what God called me to do. And it doesn't really matter a hill of beans what they tell me if I'm doing what God told me to do. It doesn't matter what they think. So I just kept doing what God told me to do. And for a while, it didn't matter whether I was on a staff or whatever for around here. You guys realize I was around here for about a year and a half before I really was doing anything. Y'all remember that? It was 3.5 years before I ever taught before you that I had been around. Sometimes time kind of changes the way we perceive things, but that is the reality. And yet God had allowed me to pastor 2 churches in rural context before I ever got to this place. So then not to do anything for 3.5 years, what does all that have to do with convenience? It weren't convenient because that weren't my plan. It wasn't about me though. It was about God's purpose and God's plan and the things He was going to open up. And I encourage you to see your life the same way. It isn't all about you. It's not all about me. It's about God's purpose and plan being accomplished through us. And that doesn't happen according to our schedule most of the time. So it's not convenient. It is not convenient to be asked to resign. It's not convenient to twice in your life be sitting wondering whether you're ever going to serve anywhere again. Because that happened to me whenever I graduated from seminary too. 1.5 years sitting there, how can I get out of this fishbowl? I'm sitting in Fort Worth, Texas. You know what? It was great to go to the world's largest seminary, but you know the problem with going to the world's largest seminary? A lot of the people around the seminary have gone to the world's largest seminary and they don't have anywhere else to serve either. So it becomes who's got the best pedigree, knows the biggest people, and you get the idea. So the only way to serve anywhere is to get out of Fort Worth, Texas. And sometimes it's hard to get out of Fort Worth, Texas if you're living in Fort Worth, Texas. Because those people elsewhere don't know anything about you. That's part of the system we've created, which we don't believe about here. Y'all know that, okay? We don't buy into that system around here. We believe in raising them up and growing them up here, okay? Truthfully, anything you can get at a seminary, you can get here, online, and any ministry growing up you need to do, you can do here, okay? And you can be a church planter through here, okay? You don't have to go sit somewhere else to learn all that stuff to suck you out of where God's given you a ministry. You can do it all right here. Here's why it's not convenient. I want to look at a couple of passages for a second. First of all, Matthew 10:38, one passage. Somebody open up to Matthew 10:38 and read that for us. It's not real long. If somebody would kind of volunteer, I'd appreciate it. You may be ready, but it's not convenient, is it? Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. This one's going to be a little bit longer. Philippians 3. We're going to look at verse 5 through 19. I think the best way to do this is to have a couple of people read. If someone would read, well, actually, I guess it's 4 through 19. We'll do that. If someone would read 4 through 11, and someone read 12 through 19. Who can read 4 through 11? Okay, Stephen, thank you. Thank you. So here's why the church is inconvenient. Without inconvenience, there is no unity. Think about it for a second. If all of us are here wanting things to be convenient for us, will we ever be on the same page? If my highest value is that I find things convenient, there is no way that I will ever submit to a purpose or a plan that is higher than my own convenience. And we cannot be unified. And yet we know, if we look at John chapter 17 and we look at the prayer that Jesus prayed, one of the things He said about the people that He was praying for that would come to know Him in the future was that we would be unified. We would be one, just as He was one with the Father. So we know. It's clear that being a part of what He has called us to be and share as His church is going to be inconvenient because He wants us to be unified. Secondly, without inconvenience, there is no sacrifice. You tell me, if Jesus took the path of convenience, would we even know what it means to be a part of the family of God? Because we would have no Holy Spirit. Jesus never would have died on the cross. No sacrifice, no abundant life. Inconvenience is what sacrifice really is, right? It's the ultimate inconvenience. Without inconvenience, there's no growth. Have you ever known anybody to really grow unless they were stretched beyond their comfort zone? I mean, I think about it. You know, I see students every day, all day, in one capacity or another. Whether I'm coaching Luke's baseball team at school, or whether I'm teaching at Virginia College, or I'm teaching at Savannah State, I'm looking at students, and the reason that they're there is because there's a skill or a knowledge that I have that they need to know, and they need to work on, and they need to build. And if they aren't willing to engage in that, guess what? They make no progress. There's no growth. I keep telling the little things, you know, the little one-page things that I have them do. Don't blow them off. Because it matters. There's a reason why I'm having them do the things that I'm having them do. And the same is true about our relationship with God. He inconveniences us daily so that we will learn things. Have you ever thought about that? Without inconvenience, there is no growth. We have to be in situations that we've never been before, deal with people that we've never dealt with before, in order for us to be able to continue to grow. What is God's highest purpose for you? Okay, to know Him. To be a mirror image of Jesus. And every day you and I are like a sculpture that is not finished yet. And pieces are coming off that rock until we look like Jesus. Sometimes it hurts. That was a big piece. Didn't expect that one. You get the idea? The highest purpose is that we would come to understand what it means to be like Jesus. Jesus was persecuted. Jesus suffered. Jesus sacrificed to the point of death. And if we're going to be like Him, if you look at Scripture, it says we're going to do that too. Yet we keep living like it's going to be convenient because we've bought into something that's not true. And without inconvenience, there's another thing that we miss that's very important. It is impossible to live a life of convenience and see the power of God exhibited anywhere in our lives, because we never extend beyond our own capabilities. We stay where we function under our own flesh and our own power, our own smarts, and there is no room for God. It's impossible to live a life of convenience and experience the power of God. You're welcome. Sometimes it takes me a minute to run the tape. All right. So we see a lot of things in Philippians chapter 3 that reinforce all those things we just looked at. Now, Jesus said that His people would live in unity, that we would practice sacrifice, that we would grow spiritually, that we would witness the power of God amongst us. So here's what I would say to you, and I said this a few minutes ago. Life can't be a truly abundant life without inconvenience. But you see, that is contrary to everything that the world would tell us. Everything that our flesh would cry out for, and everything that the devil would lie to us about. An abundant life is not a convenient life. In fact, our lives can be pretty busy, right? There's days where if you ask me, I'll just tell you all the stuff, all the places I had to go, all the things I had to do. Because life was busy. And sometimes I feel like in my day, all I'm doing is getting to the next thing. I love the next thing. Okay? That's not always good, by the way. Because the fact is, busyness can take the place. Now, you think being busy is inconvenient. Well, I'm not so sure sometimes. Because being busy means I have excuses for things that I ought to be doing or ought to be not doing. Okay? So I guess I was thinking things like this. You know, busyness will keep you tired and keep you away from gathering with the people of God. And it's my own choices. It's the things that I say wear me out are usually my own poor choices. You see, I had an opportunity and I chose the wrong choice. But I have a good excuse because I said, oh, I'm so busy. And I'm not trying to be religious. But then I fall in the other ditch. Busyness will also skew your priorities. Because after a while, if you're busy, it's the tyranny of the urgent. And you just do the next thing that you've got to put the next fire out. You've got to deal with the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And you never lift your eyes up and see the horizon. Pretty soon you realize after a while that you've taken a path you never intended to take that was somewhere out of step with where God had for you to be. Busyness will also convince you that church is about you, a la drive-through. Okay? How many people do you know who think the important thing is that they get to the building on Sunday? And how many times do we fall into feeling guilty if that's
us. Okay? Yes, we need to gather. Don't get me wrong. We need to. But it's not about sitting in the pew for an hour and a half or however long you're here and eating muffins. Okay? It's about what God does amongst us when we are together that makes us church. And if we come and we don't let anything happen amongst us, have we really been church? So busyness can be a problem. But let's move on. Last thing. I want to look at Philippians chapter 2. So go back one chapter from where we were. Here's the truth. It's seldom convenient to serve the purposes of another person, whether that's God or another person. It is never convenient, ever. We look at Philippians chapter 2. Let me read this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So as you look at that, now we know the rest of that little hymn says that he was exalted, that his name is above every name. The things that we see here listed in this hymn that Paul seems to be quoting are these. Humility is not convenient. It's more convenient to put yourself in a position of being prideful or stubborn or demanding, or right. Humility is just not a convenient thing. Unconditional love. Is it convenient to love unconditionally? You know, as we're sitting here right now, I'm thinking about Claudia. You tell me, if you know Claudia, anything convenient about Claudia's life. She's a great example of unconditional, persevering love. Sharing your life is not convenient. How many people have you allowed into your pattern of life that are new? And I'm not saying it has to be a lot of people. The question is, are you letting anybody in? Are you finding ways to accommodate and include someone else in your life that you can share your life with so that they see Jesus? Anybody. Because it will take inconvenience on your part. Was it inconvenient for Jesus to not be in heaven with God for a while? I got to think, you know, even though he was willing to do it, that it wasn't exactly the most convenient thing to be born like you and me. It wasn't the most convenient thing to be treated the way he was treated. It wasn't the most convenient thing to die on a cross.
And it certainly wasn't very convenient dealing with all the knuckleheads he had to deal with, who were just like you and me, by the way, who never could really understand everything until later, the second time around. Servanthood is not convenient. Never has been, never will be. Here's the last one. And this is the hard one. It's not any harder than the others, but it is hard. Forgiveness is not convenient. But all those things, every one of those things, are the things that Jesus has said are supposed to characterize our lives and who we are as His people. And that's that. Whether we're in a home, or whether we're gathered here, or whether we're gathered on Easter Sunday in the middle of Forsyth Park, it doesn't matter. Okay? If we are being church, we are living the life of the church, it's never going to be convenient for us. Ever. And believe it or not, if you and I are going to really embrace Jesus, we're going to be swimming against not only the culture that we know is absolutely opposed to who we are, sometimes we're going to be swimming against the culture of people who say they believe the same things that we do. You know, I mean, I'm not, and Lord bless them, and I hope that they are effective in what they do for Jesus. And that they're not just deceiving themselves. Because the reality is we've got to make a difference. And that's who He's called us to be. And if we're going to do that, it's just not going to be convenient. You know, the world is not going to come to us. It's not if we build it, they will come. That has never been the way of God. He sent Jesus in the flesh. Then Jesus sent us into the world. He never said, they'll come to you because they'll want what you have. He always said, I'm sending you. You're going. You're on the way. You're light in darkness. And there's a lot of the folks that you and I know that are living in that if we just build the right thing, whether it's the right program, the right building, the right worship style, they will come. And what He wants is for us to inconvenience ourselves to impact people's lives. I have to tell you, I have had so much guilt and shame in my life over this. Because all the other churches that I was looking at were the ones that had all the capabilities and all the resources and all the things that I wanted to do at one time or another. But what I couldn't see, because I had been conditioned that they were better, was that it's the change of lives and real sharing of life that really changes people's hearts, and the power of God that's evident in that situation. It's not in programs, it's not in gimmicks, it's not in the next meeting or whatever. It's, am I willing to let my life be inconvenienced? But the cool thing is, it is still as you are going. It's as you go, where you go, as Jesus sends you, that's where you and I make disciples. So, it is inconvenient. But at the same time, He knows who we are and He uses who we are as you go, your normal pattern of life. Yes, exactly, exactly. We're not talking about living inconveniently just to say, oh, I lived inconveniently, because that's religion. We're back to us. That's the term for that is called asceticism, okay? Where in some way you feel like you're punishing yourself
in order to be more spiritual or holy. Well, that's a bunch of hooey, because that's religion. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about going where God tells us to go, doing what God tells us to do, being faithful. That kind of inconvenience. The culture tells us that we should find a church that caters to us in every which way we can. What are your needs? And you go to someplace where that church conforms around you. And essentially what you do is you end up setting yourself in the God spot, because the church is not about, it's where you can go be religious at a place that's all about you. As opposed to, is it a place where I'm encouraged to build relationships, where I'm held accountable, where I get to pour into other people's lives? There are a lot of places where you can do that. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of churches where that is exactly what happens. And they're structured differently than we are. That's fine. That's not a problem. The issue is it ultimately about placating the people in the pews? Or is it about serving God? Because I've been places where it's about placating the people in the pews. And I've been in places where it's all about God. I think that there is a part of when we gather together, you know you're going to be ministered to. Okay, you know that, because that's part of who we are. It's how God's wired us. But the reality is there are people here that need you. And that's a critical thing we can't just throw away. Yes. And that's why He's made us the way He's made us, and how He's gathered us the way He's gathered us. It's a matter of, if you only come to see what you can get, whether it's spiritually or otherwise, then there's a spiritual problem. Does that make sense? But whenever you come to give, you'll find that you come and you receive as well. That's a great observation, by the way. Good job. That was why I decided not to do too many slides today. I figured I can just put up the picture and I'll let that. Okay. Anyway. Anybody else have anything to share? Absolutely. I think that's consistent with everything we've shared today. That's very true. There's no problem with expecting God to bless you. It's whenever there's nothing else. It's the idea of, if you come to only get fed, okay, what you end up treating church like is a buffet. And if this buffet doesn't give you what you want, you'll go find another buffet. Or, forgive me, but I'll go to this church over here for breakfast. I'll go for this church over here for lunch. And I'll go to this church over here for dessert. Okay? I'm sorry, that doesn't honor God. Because it's all about you. It's all about you getting fed. You never invest in the life of anybody. All you do is, oh, this teacher's wonderful. I'll go listen to this teacher on Sunday morning. This teacher's wonderful. I'll go listen to this teacher on Sunday night. This teacher's wonderful. I'll go listen to this teacher on Wednesday night. But guess what? You're not in the life of any one of those churches. You just go listen to those teachers. You know what the Bible says happens to knowledge? What does it do to people? Puffs them up. And it doesn't puff them up with humility. It puffs them up with pride. Yes. Difference between being in need and being needy. Anything else? It's all great. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we've been with you all morning long. Not because we came to a building, but because, Lord, we submitted our hearts to you. We gave you our lives and our time, and we came to listen, to see what you would say to us. And the reality is, Lord, that you have spoken to us about the inconvenience of being your disciple. At the same time, Lord, we acknowledge that there may be many other things that you have spoken to us about today in the quietness of our hearts. Lord, I ask that we will say yes to you no matter what you were speaking to us about today. And that, Lord, we would understand that because you're God, that we are the ones who need to reshape our lives around what you have said. Help us to be obedient to you today and experience the full, abundant, joyful life filled with purpose and fruit that you have for us as your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.